Plato, Lysis or Friendship, narrated by Peter Coates. Persons of the dialogue: Socrates, who is the narrator, Menexenus, Hippothales, Lysis, Thesippus. Scene: a newly erected palaestra outside the walls of Athens. I was going from the academy straight to the Lyceum, intending to take the outer road, which is close under the wall. When I came to the postern gate of the city, which is by the fountain of Panops, I fell in with Hippothales, the son of Hieronymus, and Thesippus the Paeanian, and a company of young men who were standing with them. Hippothales, seeing me approach, asked whence I came and whither I was going. I am going, I replied, from the academy straight to the Lyceum. Then come straight with us, he said, and put in here, you may as well. Who are you, I said, and where am I to come? He showed me an enclosed space and an open door over against the wall. And there, he said, is the building at which we all meet, and a goodly company we are. And what is this building, I asked, and what sort of entertainment have you? The building, he replied, is a newly erected palaestra, and the entertainment is generally conversation, to which you are welcome. Thank you, I said, and is there any teacher there? Yes, he said, your old friend and admirer Miccus. Indeed, I said, he is a very eminent professor. Are you disposed, he said, to go with me and see them? Yes, I said, but I should like to know first what is expected of me, and who is the favourite among you. Some persons have one favourite, Socrates, and some another, he said. And who is yours, I asked. Tell me that, Hippothales. At this he blushed, and I said to him, O Hippothales, thou son of Hieronymus, do not say that you are, or that you are not, in love. The confession is too late, for I see that you are not only in love, but are already far gone in your love. Simple and foolish as I am, the gods have given me the power of understanding affections of this kind. Whereupon he blushed more and more. Thesippus said, I like to see you blushing, Hippothales, and hesitating to tell Socrates the name, when, if he were with you but for a very short time, you would have plagued him to death by talking about nothing else. Indeed, Socrates, he has literally deafened us, and stopped our ears with the praises of Lysis, and if he is a little intoxicated, there is every likelihood that we may have our sleep murdered with a cry of Lysis. His performances in prose are bad enough, but nothing at all in comparison with his verse, and when he drenches us with his poems and other compositions, it is really too bad, and worse still is his manner of singing them to his love. He has a voice which is truly appalling, and we cannot help hearing him, and now, having a question put to him by you, behold, he is blushing. Who is Lysis? I said. I suppose that he must be young, for the name does not recall anyone to me. Why, he said, his father being a very well-known man, he retains his patronymic, and is not as yet commonly called by his own name. But, although you do not know his name, I am sure that you must know his face, for that is quite enough to distinguish him. But tell me whose son he is, I said. He is the eldest son of Democrates, of the deme of Ixone. Ah, Hippothales, I said, what a noble and really perfect love you have found. I wish that you would favour me with the exhibition which you have been making to the rest of the company, and then I shall be able to judge whether you know what a lover ought to say about his love, either to the youth himself or to others. Nay, Socrates, he said, you surely do not attach any importance to what he is saying. Do you mean, I said, that you disown the love of the person whom he says that you love? No, but I deny that I make verses or address compositions to him. He is not in his right mind, said Thesippus. He is talking nonsense and is stark mad. Oh, Hippothales, I said, if you have ever made any verses or songs in honour of your favourite, I do not want to hear them, but I want to know the purport of them, that I may be able to judge of your mode of approaching your fair one. Thesippus will be able to tell you, he said, for, if he avers, the sound of my words is always dinning in his ears. He must have a very accurate knowledge and recollection of them. Yes, indeed, said Thesippus, I know only too well, and very ridiculous the tale is, for although he is a lover, and very devotedly in love, he has nothing particular to talk about to his beloved, which a child might not say. Now, is not that ridiculous? He can only speak of the wealth of Democrates, which the whole city celebrates, and grandfather